Unsolved problems are often the basis for the creation of new mathematics. They are especially so for Julia Bowman Robinson, a Californian who labored in relative obscurity on some of the great unsolved problems of the last century. She made several discoveries and became a pioneer among American women in mathematics. The most important problem she worked on, Hilbert's 10th problem, asked for a single method that would tell whether or not certain problems had solutions.
David Hilbert was a great mathematician, and at the first International Congress of Mathematicians in 1900, which was held in Paris, he gave a list of problems that he felt would be important to be solved in the next century. As these problems got solved, oftentimes it wasn't just a problem, but to solve the problem, one had to develop a whole area of mathematics. So in fact, by these problems, he's really shaped a lot of what happened in the 20th century in mathematics. One of those problems was Hilbert's 10th problem.
In 1948, Julia Robinson, who had just earned her PhD at the age of 29, began working on the problem. For the next 22 years, Julia Robinson was captured by Hilbert's 10th problem. She was to make key contributions to its solution. The direction she chose was made possible by the appearance in the 1930s of a new mathematical idea, computability.
What is Hilbert's 10th problem?
David Hilbert had a unique advantage of being a world-renowned mathematician just at the turn of the century, and he had such a broad view of questions and problems in mathematics that he could take it upon himself to pose problems. There isn't anyone alive who could cover the kind of scope that he did.
Find an effective method to decide if a Diophantine equation has solutions in integers. So what is a Diophantine equation? A Diophantine equation is just an ordinary polynomial equation. X to the 17 plus y to the 17 equals z to the 17th is a polynomial equation of degree 17.
So a polynomial is the simplest kind of function. It's a function that's built out of the variables by repeated addition, subtraction, and multiplication, something like x squared minus 9. And you make an equation out of it just by setting a polynomial equal to 0.
Hilbert was looking for whole number solutions to Diophantine equations. If we look at the equation 2x equals 5, we can see that x equals 2.5 is the only solution, and 2.5 is not a whole number. Therefore, there is no whole number solution to this equation.
If an airline is trying to maximize its profits and is trying to figure out how many airplanes it should build, it doesn't want an answer of 2.5. It wants an integer solution.
Hilbert was not asking for a method of finding solutions to Diophantine equations, but only for deciding whether or not there is a solution. He wanted to know, is there one general procedure? Do we always need new ideas? Do we always need creativity? Or is there one method for determining whether or not any Diophantine equation has a solution?
So Hilbert's 10th problem is really asking for an algorithm to decide whether a polynomial equation has a solution in integers. But at the time he posed this question in 1900, there was no formal notion of algorithm.
There are many different definitions of algorithm. The Turing machine is a very popular one, where you think of a very primitive kind of machine working on an infinite tape. And Turing argued that you can encode in the patterns on the tape many conditions, and by searching those patterns and rewriting them, you can simulate any kind of computation that you can do in a more complicated way.
Why couldn't there be a decision method, a Turing machine, a computer program, an algorithm, so you apply it to any Diophantine equation, it'll tell you whether or not it has a solution? So Hilbert's 10th problem is find such an algorithm.
Hilbert was asking for a computer, but the idea of a computer was far in the future.
Yeah, Hilbert, it seems, when he posed this problem, he expected that there would be a general method for deciding the existence of a solution.
His big motto, no ignoramibus, meaning there's nothing which is gonna be hidden from eventual knowledge.
Statt des törichten Ignoramimus heiße im Gegenteil unsere Losung, wir müssen wissen, wir werden wissen.
He thought every problem, if you work at it hard enough and you have the intellectual ability, is susceptible to solution.